Well, welcome back, all our radio entrepreneurs, followers. And thank you for following us during these changing economic times. But what a better time to be watching radio entrepreneurs and seeing what entrepreneurs are doing and how they're adapting their organizations for this new economy. It's great for me. I know personally, as a management consultant, it's like going to school every day, listening to all these stories and hearing what other people are doing. And this next guest, geez, I think probably 2.5 years ago, no face that time. During another format, we had him on, Patrick Anquetil, CEO Portal Instruments. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. Pleasure to be back and delighted to see that you're doing well and things are good despite those very challenging times that we're living through right now.
So I know we're going to talk about a needle-free injector, but why don't you tell us what Portal really does, what it is, its purpose, and especially in this economy, everybody's looking at better health-driven businesses. So great time to have you on.
That's right. So our goal at Portal is to basically replace the needle and syringe with a device that's needle-free and can perform any type of injections. If you think of it, the needle and syringe is probably the oldest medical device in the world. It's at almost 200 years old by now, really need for an upgrade. And it's great that we actually do have video today because I brought the device. I've got it right here. You can see what it looks like. We can run also a quick demo if you like. Basically, the idea is that we're pressurizing the drug. We're using the drug itself to pierce the skin and deliver the molecule where it needs to go.
This is like Star Trek.
It is the Star Trek device. That's correct.
This is like, you know, so you're going to be Dr. Bones and you're going to inject me without a needle. This is great. Here's
That's right.
Do it.
So, yeah, and I think it's interesting because it is a concept that's quite simple. Star Trek certainly has popularized it. It had actually been developed conceptually in the 30s. But no one could figure out how to actually create a device that allowed you to actually control the jet coming out and making it a very reliable injection. This is an MIT technology, so it's got, you know, computers and motors and sensors in it, and that's what we've achieved. The injection that comes out of this device or enabled by this device will always be the same, and the computer will adapt to the outside parameters to make sure that it always delivers what it's supposed to do. So you asked about the pandemic, and I think in particular in this pandemic, at some point, you run into the next bottleneck, you know, once the vaccine has been developed, in that you want to basically inoculate a lot of people very, very fast. With a needle and syringe, not only you have the supply chain challenge in that, those supply chains are not equipped to produce the billions of doses of needle and syringe that you would need, but also from a practical standpoint, you know, only really a nurse can do typically an injection. What if anyone could do the injection, and what if you could actually accelerate really in an emergency situation, accelerate the rate of injection by a factor 10, right? Like literally line up everyone and poop, 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 just do the injections like that. Again, emergency situation, I don't think.
You can't reuse, most needles nowadays are disposable.
That's correct, yes.
You have to open up the pack, do it. It's not like, but I also, I can't help it. My mother was a brittle diabetic. She became a brittle diabetic type 1 in 1954. And it was a miserable process for her to take injections twice a day. When I was a child, she was boiling needles for breakfast. And then as I got older, she was doing disposables. If she could have had something like this, it would have changed her whole life.
Well, that's exactly the idea. In fact, you know, the idea is one thing, but the business model is actually the most important thing, interestingly. And because there's a lot of high tech that goes into this device, and because patients such as your mother really need something that's better because that's what they do every day. In fact, what patients come in and said to us, look, a day without an injection is not a day for me. This is what I do every day. So can we transform that? But also from a business standpoint, because there is a recurrence basically of injection that's required, can we then create a sustainable business model around that as well? So I think it's interesting. It's where really it is the greatest need, but also the business model would support such a thing as well.
How did you get into this business in the first place?
Well, it's interesting. It depends on how far you want to go. Specifically for this company, I knew the inventor. He's a famous MIT professor. I was doing another startup at the time, and kind of the stars aligned in that, it was time to kind of move on from the startup in that we were doing our clinical studies. So there was really no need for the business guy to be there. And from his side, there had been, I would say, pretty much 8 years of R&D that had basically saw fruit with this device. And the device was really for ready for prime time, and that's how I got involved. Interestingly, I mean, I think this is the wonderful Steve Jobs quote, which is that you only connect the dots backwards. Interestingly, actually, I worked at Becton Dickinson too at some point in my career as an intern. Becton Dickinson, for the audience, is literally the largest syringe manufacturer in the world. And so the pieces fitted together, including the timing aspect as well. So my advice always to entrepreneurs, you never know when the opportunities come, but you have to be able to recognize them and just strike when they come in. And so that's really what happened. One thing led to another, and it seemed to be the right thing. If you ask me, I feel I've prepared for this job basically all my life. And that's why I said we're going to go back, many, many more steps.
Now we're looking at, with the pandemic, I don't think everybody in the United States is going to be taking a shot because they're just people who won't do it. But you're looking at a few hundred million shots in addition to the other injections that that Americans take. Is your business been more on the radar screen today? Have things been hot? Or do you feel like, people are not noticing you and they should be right now?
I think it's both. Interestingly, there's two almost conflicting imperatives. So from a business perspective, it turns out that vaccines is actually, alas, not an attractive business model, right? It's a high volume, low margin. For new technology, what you want is very niche, high value, small volumes, right? Because it actually works. First of all, from a scaling perspective, you need to be able to actually produce things. And whatever you produce needs to have high value, because that's how the technology basically will be also sustained as well. At the same time, you also have the moral imperative, right? And I think our team felt very strongly that in this pandemic, given that we're working in a device that could help not only patients, but I think the whole world population, that we should be basically advancing on that project. What was very clear at the same time is that from a talent perspective, probably for this pandemic, I think there's better ways to do it. But for the next one, God forbid when it happens, I think we'll be ready and we'll have a device. So I do think long-term, alas, again, the pandemic has created for us an opportunity for us to expand basically our line of devices.
I also think of the third world countries. How fast could you gear up production of something like this?
I think in this current generation, I would say not fast, but the next generation, where basically the container, I'll just show it to you what it looks like. So the container right now, you need to basically still fill it. This is just water. If it looks like a syringe, but if you open it, you can see it is literally no shots. It's just a lure lock, and then the jet basically comes out of here.
So this this is almost like a bullet that will go into the chamber.
That's correct. Yeah, in fact, I can just demo it for you if you like. So you basically turn on the device. Right. It will automatically open the cartridge door. You literally slide. As you said, the bullets are our marketing department would probably disagree with that terminology. But yeah, you put the cartridge in, the device will basically check itself, make sure this is the right cartridge, the right volume, the right time, and then allow you to do an injection. When it's ready to go, it lights up. It has safety feature. It's locked right now. If I put it against skin, it basically unlocks itself. The moment I'm not touching the device, it basically locks it again. I can bypass this and basically simulate an injection. So if you're ready, 3, 2, 1, and that's the injection right there.
Old water pistol.
Yeah, a little bit more powerful, but yeah, I think almost like my medical question. Grade. What is it called again?
Patrick, I'm wondering about your old employer, BD. I used to work a long, long time ago. I have my mugs in front of me for the surgical division of J&J. I used to work for Ethicon.
Fantastic, yeah.
And I'm wondering, is BD potentially someone who wouldn't want you to be producing this because it conflicts with their needles? Or are they somebody who potentially would be acquiring you? Or both?
You know, I think it's both. I don't think, look, the market is so wide, and even though we're a startup, we have very lofty ambition. You know, if you came to our offices, Jeff, you'd see on the wall, you know, it says our vision, a needle-free world. It will take a long time, you know, for that vision to happen. It will happen though at some point. And I think companies like BD can be part of that dialogue as well. And maybe it's a natural acquirer, or maybe it's someone who kind of keeps us on us on our toes. I think either way, it creates a healthy environment for I think the two to strive. The one thing I wanted to say back to the pandemic, what we've developed as a next generation is to actually not use that container anymore. You have the front of the device that basically gets replaced, and the device itself draws from a vial. So instead of having to replace the cartridge for every injection, you could do maybe, you know, 10 injections per vial or 100 injections per vial, depending on the size, and really actually improve the throughput, but also solve a challenge that actually not no one, but very few people talk about, that producing syringes today is actually, believe it or not, a bottleneck. There is not enough clinical grade glass being produced right now to meet the demand. I mean, eventually it will catch up, but it's kind of interesting to see the magnitude of scale of the problem that we're up against them.
Great. Yeah, we've been speaking with Patrick Nketil of Portal Tech Instruments. I, you know, personally find this all very interesting, the whole field of healthcare evolving so quickly right now. Patrick, if somebody wants to find you in the company, how would they do that?
Yeah, the easiest way is to basically contact us at info@portalinstruments.com. I'm sure if you type, you know, on Google, you know, needle-free portal, you basically find our website, and you can see basically the email contact there. We read every email. We always get, you know, very nice questions and feedback from patients. So please reach out. And again, I think entrepreneurship is almost also a moral imperative if you have the ambition, the drive and the vision, and happy to help anyone on that journey. I think to me, I cannot imagine doing anything else. It's not only great for yourself, but it's most importantly great for the economy. You're creating jobs, and in the end, whatever you produce will help some human being, you know, even beyond healthcare.
Well, thanks, Patrick. Will you come back on the show? Don't take too
long. I'd love
to. Great.
I'd love to at some point, and it's always a pleasure to see you. And and to the listeners, anywhere I can help, please reach out. Happy to do.
Very much. And remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And boy, what a great story to have on during this pandemic. How relevant could this be? We will take a break. We'll be back with more stories quite shortly.